looking at the third verse in the second chapter. Ruth has asked permission to go and glean in the field, and Naomi has said, "Go, my daughter." Ruth has said, "Let me now go." And she says by faith, "I shall find grace." I just love that, "I shall find grace." And Naomi says, "Go, my daughter." And so we come to verse 3, and verse 3 says, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." So we find the gleaning now. We saw the kinsman in verse 1 and the Moabitess in verse 2, and we see the gleaning here in verse 3. And in this verse, you really see the obedience of Ruth to Naomi's instruction and to the Lord. Naomi had said, "Go, my daughter," and Ruth did. She went. And you really see how her life was filled with activity, because it said she went. That means she departed. And it means to walk. And then she came. She arrived. And it also means to enter in. And she gleaned, which means to pick up and to gather. So you see that activity. She went, she departed, she came, and she arrived. And when she arrived, she did something. She gleaned. She began to gather and pick up those grains that were left for her. She was a worker. I like that phrase, being a worker and not a shirker. Ruth was a worker. She did what needed to be done. And what we see here also is she's exercising that right that she has and to glean. And that's her faith. Faith says, "I have this right. I'm going to exercise it." And she's providing for Naomi, and that's her love. So you kind of see her faith and her love here. "I'm going to step out in faith and find grace. And in the process, I'm doing it because I love Naomi. And I'm doing it because I love the Lord." What she's really doing is stepping out into the unknown. I don't think this was a Moabite custom. I don't know that in Moab they made a provision for the poor like they did in Israel, because this was God's command. This is the Lord providing for those that were needy. I can't imagine an ungodly, idolatrous nation making this provision. This came from God himself. So this was a Jewish custom. I don't think it was a Moabite custom. And so she's really stepping out into the unknown here. It's something also, since she's stepping out into the unknown, that the poor did and not the wealthy did. And, you know, we've talked about the fact that maybe she came from a well-to-do family when she was in Moab and married Naomi's son. But whether she was wealthy or not, or as the Jewish commentators feel, a royalty, whatever her background status was, this was still something new for her to do and hard for her to do. And I think she chose to glean to work for her living, and once she made that choice to do it, she did it diligently. And I think she did it faithfully, and I think she did it with all her might. I think she did it quietly. She just went about her task. She entered into that field, and we're going to find out, you know, in the following verse when Boaz is going to inquire after her, that Ruth actually does go up to the steward, or the servant, which is the steward of that field, and ask permission to do this, and he gives her permission. But once she did that, she just went about doing what she needed to do and didn't do anything else. Once she started working, she didn't stop, she didn't talk. She worked. You know, in verse 7 it says that one of the things that the steward or the servant of Moab says is that she said, "I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." And so she came, and she has continued even from the morning until now. And she's tarried a little in the house. So, you know, once she started, she didn't stop. And I just thought that is such a wonderful testimony. And we've already studied some in Paul's epistles about how important it is to have this quiet, honest, hardworking testimony. And remember what Paul told the Thessalonians when we were studying 1 Thessalonians in that fourth chapter. He said that you are to study to be what? Quiet. And to do your own business. I think she did that. And to do what with your own hands? Work with your hands. And he says the result is so that you can walk honestly towards them that are without, and so that you will have lack of nothing. But I think Ruth did this. She studied to be quiet, and she went about her own business, and she worked with her own hands, and she didn't mingle with or gossip with or fraternize with anybody else. She just went in there and started to work. Later on in 2 Thessalonians, when we were studying, the Apostle Paul gave another description of how you should work. And he says in 2 Thessalonians 3:12 that with what should they work? Anybody remember? With noisiness or with quietness? With quietness they work and eat their own bread. So here you have an example, I think, of how she went about and did what she knew needed to be done with her life. You know, I've worked with people that they do a little bit of work, but they talk along the way. Or they do a little bit of work and they do a lot of other stuff that isn't work. I think Ruth, when she entered in there, this is the testimony that's going to speak even to the servant of Boaz, that he's going to give an account of her labors, because he said she went in and she started early and she kept going. And she didn't stop except for a little while. And that's it. So what I want to talk about this evening, though, is that it says here that she went and she came, and then she gleaned in that field after the reapers. And I thought, what made Ruth stop and choose that field? The Holy Spirit. I don't think when Naomi said go, Naomi didn't say go, and by the way, here's where you need to go. I think Naomi told her to go, and Ruth really, in a sense, didn't have any idea exactly where to go. She just went forward in faith. A little bit like Abraham, who went forward not knowing whither he went until the Lord told him to stop. And so I think one of the things that Ruth did as she went, before she came, in between the word went and came, she did something. I think she prayed. I think she prayed as she went forth. I think she asked to be led by the Lord. And it really shows that we need to be led by the Lord and led by the Word and led by the Holy Spirit. I wanted to pick two scriptures from the Psalms and one from Romans 8 that we're familiar with, but Psalm 31:3, turn over there. For such a young convert in the Lord, Ruth really steps out in faith right away from the very first moment that she embraces Naomi's God and Naomi's people. She doesn't do it half-heartedly, she does it wholeheartedly. And Psalm 31:3, and it's a psalm written by David. Verse 3 says, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me." Makes you wonder if during some of their reading of the scriptures together as a family, or as they journeyed from Moab back to Bethlehem, or as she was instructed by Naomi in the house before she stepped forward into that culture to exercise this right, if they sat around and Naomi read the Psalms, you know, or picked certain scriptures that had meant something to her. But for whatever reason, Ruth reaches out and in a sense she says, "For thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." She called upon the Lord, I think, to ask to be led and guided by him. Over in Psalm 43:3, here's another scripture that I really like, and in this psalm, it says, O send out thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and unto thy tabernacle. There's a leading, not just by the name of the Lord, but by his light and by his truth. However she prayed, I think she did pray to be led by the Lord. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans that as many are as led by what are called the sons of God? The Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. And I believe that Ruth was, as Carolyn said, led by the Holy Spirit. But in order to be led by the Holy Spirit, you have to open yourself up to the Lord and to that leading and ask him to lead you. And I think she stepped forward, and I don't know how far the field was from where she lived. You get the idea that there are several fields there all together, and they don't all belong to Boaz. Part of the one field belonged to somebody else, and part of a field belonged to Boaz, because it says her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. So, you know, there were huge fields everywhere, and she stopped at a certain part of the field that just belonged to Boaz. If she'd stopped prior to that field at another field, or after that field at another field, it wouldn't have been Boaz's field.
It really wasn't a happenstance.
It wasn't a happenstance, which is what Brother Art Ager says, and we'll look at this evening. There is no happenstance in our life. Naomi said go, and she went, but I think she went praying. And she went until she came and saw a field being harvested, and she saw reapers in the field reaping. She went and came and gleaned in a field after the reapers. So she saw that the harvest was already going on, that there were already reapers out there reaping, so that, and I don't know if there were any gleaners out there or not, or if she was the first one to arrive, and she just thought, okay, this is my right, I'm going to go ahead and exercise it, or if she saw maybe other gleaners out there. If there was nobody there gleaning and she was the first one, think about how hard that would be, because I've never done this before, and Naomi says, this is my right, and God says, this is my right, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to glean. You think, as a child of God, how important it is for us, in a sense, to glean in those fields that belong to the Lord, because what we're gleaning is that which nourishes us. And what are we really gleaning? The Word. We're gleaning the Word. So she went until she came to that field, and she saw reapers in the field reaping. Now, whether this was the first field that she saw, or the second, or the third, we don't know. It sounds like they were all together, and she just stopped on a portion of the field. And maybe at this point in time, his servants were out there early and were the first to be harvesting. And so she picked that field. The Holy Spirit said, here are people busy working. This is the field you need to go to. Maybe some of the other landowners were a little bit lazy and they started late. I don't know. Either way, she was led by the Lord. We don't know why she chose, except that I think the Spirit of the Lord led her to this field. So between the departure and the went, where she went, and the arrival when she came, there's a time of trust. And you look at the areas in our life where the Lord says go, and we go, and we haven't yet arrived at whatever the destination is that the Lord wants us to go to. In between that time of before we arrive, when we're making the journey, when we're going, we really have to be trusting in the Lord. We don't know how long we have to wait until we arrive at whatever place it is the Lord wants us to be, but until we arrive there, we just keep going. And that's just a place of trust. I think when we go forward in faith, trusting the Lord, we'll arrive at where he wants us to, when he wants us to arrive there. Brother Wiersbe said, to live by faith means to take God at his word and then act on it. But that's, you know, a really good way of putting it. If you're going to live by faith, which is what Ruth is doing here, you have to take God at his word and then act on it. For faith without works is dead. And that's what we're going to see when we get into James, the second chapter. Faith without works is dead. Since Ruth believed that God loved her and would provide for her, she set out to find a field in which she could glean. Now, this was completely an act of faith, because being a stranger, she didn't know who owned the various parcels of ground made up those fields. You know, and in those days, there wasn't a little sign that said Boaz's field and the name of the landowner, the next landowner's field. They had little markers in the ground that the owners of the land would know, this is where my field begins and this is where my field ends. But you didn't necessarily have the name on that marker, and Ruth certainly wouldn't know whose field was whose. So she didn't know who owned the various parcels of ground that made up the fields. There were boundary markers for each parcel, but no fences or family name signs as seen on our farms today. Furthermore, as a woman and an outsider, she was especially vulnerable, and she had to be careful where she went. You know, you get the idea from what Boaz says to her later on, stay close by my workers, and they'll watch over you. You get the idea that maybe she might have been treated harshly or roughly elsewhere had she gone to another person's field. So the Lord knew where she needed to go, even if she didn't. And the Lord knows where we need to go, even when we don't, and when to stop when we don't. Then I asked myself this question, what is one little word here that's used in this verse that makes it look like it's an accident? Hap. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. That word hap means happened or chance. Her chance, it was her chance. She just chanced to happen upon this field. That word light means come by or stop by this field. And it means, if you look up light, in Strong's, it says, in parentheses, chiefly by accident. It looks like, oh, by accident, she just happened to stop and come to this field and choose it. But in the life of a child of God, there are no haps or no happenings or no chances or no accidents. Brother Art Eggers says, the word hap, which is happened, is how man views life. You know, everybody else probably that looked on, that heard about it later, said, boy, she sure was lucky she stopped by that field. You hear that term, lucky, and there's no luck in our lives either, is there? That's how man view things. Oh, that was a good chance that you had there, that you stopped there. Good thing that happened. But Brother Art says, that's how man views life, but to God, there's nothing haphazard in our life. Everything's ordered in our life. Everything is controlled in our life by the Lord. Even when we get out of control, when we go off in the wrong direction and we make wrong decisions, the Lord is still in control, and he still uses those circumstances to teach us lessons. Brother Art says, God has all things planned way before we see anything taking place. You know, that morning when she got up, God knew she was going to say to Naomi, let me go. And God knew Naomi was going to say, go. And God knew Ruth was going to set out, and somehow he pointed her feet in the right direction. And when she got to a field, somehow he stopped her feet from moving, and she started to glean in that field. Brother Art says, God puts us where he wants us. We may not realize it, but he puts us exactly where he wants us. You know, Don and I often talk about, he leads you to a church, and you stay there until he moves you elsewhere. And a lot of people are like little kids tasting treats at different locations. They just go from this location to that location to the next location, rather than settle down and they missed out on the fact that God led them to a spot, but their flesh wanted to go on somewhere else. But God really puts us where he wants us. And then Brother Art says, have you decided to labor in his field? There is plenty of work to be done. Just ask God what to do. God will put you where he wants you, and he'll give you a labor and enable you to do it. Sister Bodie says, and I kind of liked her perspective on this, Brother Art's perspective is, well, this is how man views things. it. And there are no happenings or chances in our life. Sister Bodhi says, this was a hap that never would have happened if Ruth had remained with her gods in Moab. And I thought that's really good. If she'd stayed in Moab, she never would have happened upon this field. Never would have met Boaz. Never would have entered into the richness of the blessing that she's going to take hold of. You know, this may look like an accident, but God has control of her life and God has control of our life. And sometimes when things seem like they're out of control, by faith we have to say, God is in control. The Lord is in control of my life. I may not be. And whether we ask to be led by him or not, he's still in control of our lives. But how much more pleasing it is when we ask to be led, and how much less stress there is and on our lives if we have asked to be led by the Lord, and we're not just stepping out on our own, trying to figure out on our own, going from this place to that place, and never really at peace about it. In my heart, I believe that the morning that Ruth stepped out, until the moment that she stopped at that field, I think there was just a peace in her heart. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm doing what he's asked me to do, and I'm doing this for love of Naomi. And so we find here that whether we ask to be led or not, he still knows our hearts better than we do. And he knows the decisions and choices we'll make even before we make them. One of the things that Job says over in Job 23, turn to the 10th verse here, and this is something sometimes I think we forget about from time to time, because we get tunnel vision on what's going on in our lives. I talked to Roxanne about this, and you know, sometimes we just get so caught up in the moment and the crisis that's going on that's all that we can see, and we don't know what direction to go, or did I take a wrong turn somewhere along the way? But in Job 23, looking at verse 10, Job says, but he knoweth the way that I take. I just love that scripture. He knoweth the way that I take. Even if I'm not sure I've taken the right way, he still knows the way that I've taken. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You get the idea that the way that was taken here is a way filled with trials. And yet faith says, when I pass through that way, because it's the way that he knows the way I've taken, and obviously because he's led me in this way, I'll come forth as gold. My foot, in verse 11, hath held his steps, and his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I just love that particular portion here. And if our eyes are on the Lord and our faith is in his word and in his promises, then we have to trust that whatever steps our feet take forward, it is a step forward in the steps that he has led us in. And even if it seems like it's a rocky place, we'll not decline to take that step forward. I think that was hard for Ruth, to step forward one step at a time, going out into the unknown, wondering what kind of people will I, if she was anything like me, you know, I'd be going, oh, what kind of people am I going to meet, and how will they react to me, and I've never done this before, and will they accept me? Will they allow me to do this? But she's already said, I shall find grace. So she's already stepped forward in faith. But she stepped forward knowing that the Lord knows the direction that she's taking. Psalm 139 in verse 2 is another scripture that I like the first part of this psalm. And it says in Psalm 139 and at the beginning of that verse, verse 2, thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You know, even when we step forward in faith, can we still have a little bit of doubt along the way? Have you ever said, I'm going to do this in faith, and yet you're still kind of struggling with a few doubts along the way? And the Lord knows every area of our heart and every area of our mind, and he knows exactly what we're thinking. I had written in my Bible, my down sitting is failures and my uprising are my victories. But literally, he knows when I'm sitting down and he knows when I stand up. He knows when I'm at rest and he knows when I'm in times of activity. The Lord knows, and he knows, so I don't have to worry about it. Paul tells Timothy, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Remember that in 2 Timothy 2:19? The Lord knoweth them that are his. So despite the decisions that we make, he really works out what's best for us. All things do work together. But how much better it is to pray about it before we act. How much more victorious we'll be and more at peace we'll be. I don't think, as nervous as she may have been, I think she still entered into that field by faith, knowing this is what Naomi said God said was for me, and I'm going to lay hold of it. I may not fully understand it, or maybe even fully appreciate it, and I don't think she would fully appreciate it until the end of the day, when Boaz had blessed her so abundantly, and she beat out that grain that she had picked up and came back with so much. And sometimes we don't fully appreciate it until it is done and over with. So whose field did Ruth happen to stop at and glean? The field belonging to a man by the name of Boaz. And I believe she was led by the Spirit to Boaz. And we are led to Christ. Now, she's already being led because she has laid hold of God's promises and, in a sense, has embraced the God of Israel and entered into that relationship that she never had before. But she's going to be led into a deeper relationship, a deeper fellowship, and a greater degree of blessing than ever before. And the Lord, in a sense, if we have a heart for the things of the Lord, if we want something more and know that there is something more for us, I think he'll lead us to Boaz, and he'll lead us to Boaz's field. And the moment that we enter into that field, it's rich with blessings. And all we have to do, in a sense, is reach down and pick up what's there and lay hold of it and let it supply our need. And so she was led to Boaz because she wanted something more, and we are led to Christ into that deeper fellowship and richer blessing because we want something more. In that, she's a type of the bride. One of the commentators said, by the providence of God, Ruth gleaned in the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. The record says that Ruth happened to come to this portion of the field, but it was no accident. Her steps were guided by the Lord. He quotes a scripture in Genesis 24:7 when Eliezer arrives at his destination. Remember, Abraham's servant Eliezer has been sent forth to find a bride for Isaac, and he had prayed unto God and asked him to fulfill specific conditions so that he would know if this was the right woman. And lo and behold, along comes Rebecca. And she does exactly what he has prayed about. And one of the things that Eliezer says to her, and based on these words, she will run off and tell her family about him, is Eliezer says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. He says that in Genesis 24:27. He says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Well, why is it that the Lord led him? Because he'd prayed about it beforehand. And so he says that to Rebecca. The Lord led me. He led me to you. And so he goes on to say, God's working in our lives is both a delight and a mystery. I think that's so good. It's a delight and it's a mystery. And he is constantly working with us. Mark 16:20, turn over to Mark 16:20, because he brings out 3 points here. And the first is in Mark 16:20, which says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working, what? With them, and confirming the word with signs and wonders. So the first thing that he said is, the Lord works with us. And then over in Philippians 2:13, which we probably remember since we finished studying it, Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God works with us, and God works in us. And then a scripture that we know by heart, Romans 8:28, God works for us. All things work together for your good. With us and in us and for us to accomplish his purposes in our lives. Think about that. You know, stop during the day as you're going through the day or going through the week and see if you can find which area of your life that comes to the forefront. Oh, God's working in me right now. Oh, God's working for me right now. No, God's working with me right now. You know, he's working in all those different ways. He says we pray and we seek his will and we make decisions, and sometimes I put down we make mistakes. But it is God who orders events and guides us. So doesn't matter. He is still the one that's in control. And so we find here that she went and she came and she gleaned in the field after the reapers. So there were people out there working, reaping. And her hap, or her chance, was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. And then we find here a description of Boaz, which we've seen in verse 1, but it's reinforced, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now verse 1 had said, he was a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Here he was of the kindred of Elimelech. The word kindred means clan or family. He was of the family of Elimelech, or the clan. Now, we don't know the exact relationship. Only the Lord does. I went online and looked up in the Jewish encyclopedia, and on the Jewish encyclopedia, they say, well, he could be Elimelech's cousin, or he could be Elimelech's brother. One speculated he could have been Elimelech's great uncle. You know, nobody really knows. Whatever it was, he was of that kindred or that clan or that family. The Lord knows the relationship. But we know that it's a close enough relationship that he can be come under the category of a kinsman, that there's only one person closer than him who has no name. The man with no name here. But he is, and Naomi recognizes it when she hears his name, he is next kinsman or a near kinsman. So he's pretty close. He's not, you know, a distant relative, but a close relative. So we find here this wonderful testimony that Ruth has by faith. And I just wanted us to dwell on those three things, those three words of action that stand forth from her life. She went, which is going forth, and she came. And in between the went and the came, there is this time frame. And we find that time frame in our lives. And if that time frame consists of prayer and consists of trust, then we can come at the end of that statement to a place where we arrive, and there's a place for gleaning, there's a place for provision, there's a place that is rich with harvest, and the field belongs to Jesus. We let him lead us to that. And when he does that, it won't be just barley that we glean, but it'll be the finest of the wheat. You know, Ruth may start out with barley, but she's going to go on to every other harvest and every other field that belongs to Boaz. And the barley was the first, and wheat will be the second. And, you know, for all we know, she went on, and everything else that he had that was ripe and available, she was offered an opportunity to glean from. And the Lord offers us great opportunities, and I just thank him for that provision that's made for us, and how important it is to step forward in faith, trusting in him, go forward in prayer. And there is nothing really by chance in our lives, is there? But I like the two contrasting views between Brother Art and Sister Bodie. Sister Bodie said, well, if she hadn't left, she would have never happened on that field.